Not here because of who we are we? But of who, because of who he is. Last Wednesday, what was last Wednesday? Pardon?
April 1st. No.
Last day of March, March 31. Passover was March 30. Yep. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beginning with verse 20. in the Bible sequence, there were the annual Sabbaths, and Passover was one of them. Actually, it was the first one of the annual Sabbaths. What was the next day? Beginning with verse 20, it says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits. Then, when he comes, those who belong to him." You ever heard of the Feast of First Fruits? The Feast of the Wave Sheaf. The First Fruits of the Wave Sheaf. You see, on the weekend of the crucifixion, Friday was the day of preparation for the Passover. That was when the offering was to be made. The lamb was to be slain and roasted. And then the next day was Passover. And Jesus was in the tomb resting from his work of salvation on the Sabbath, on Passover. The next day, in the Jewish system, the symbols and the ceremonies that God gave to the Jews, the next day was the Feast of the Wave Sheaf, or the Feast of First Fruits. And what they were to do is gather a small bundle called a wave sheaf of the ripe barley. This was the beginning of harvest time. And they were to bring that and to the priest, and the priest would take that wave sheaf and take it in before the Lord and wave it before him as the first fruits. Now here in Corinthians, Paul is saying that Jesus is the first fruits. Sunday morning, Jesus ascended to the Father. Now you say, well, I thought he didn't ascend until 40 days later. Go with me to John. Chapter 20 and verse 17. John chapter 20 and verse 17. Jesus said, and he's speaking to Mary, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Now, in the scripture reading this morning, he told the women, or the angel told the women, to tell the disciples that he was going before them to Galilee. And he met with them that night in Galilee. But in the interim, Jesus ascended to the Father and offered himself as the first fruits of those that sleep in the dust. See, all resurrections are dependent upon the resurrection of Jesus. Moses was raised from the dead, and if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, Moses would have had to come back. That'd be a bad trick, wouldn't it? Can you imagine being Moses and being in heaven and having to leave heaven and come back? Or Enoch or Elijah, who were translated without dying, all of their salvation was dependent upon Jesus' resurrection, and upon the acceptance of his sacrifice by the Father. So Sunday morning, Jesus rose from the tomb, ascends to the Father, and offers himself as man's substitute and surety. Now he had made that commitment before, but that was promise. Now it's fact. And so he ascends and he goes in before the Father and he offers his sacrifice. in place of you and me. If it weren't for the Feast of First Fruits, we would have no hope. Now, it's certainly not the feast itself, but the feast was a depiction of the plan of salvation. And so the yearly Sabbaths, as they're laid out in the calendar year of the Jewish calendar, each one is a major event in the plan of salvation. The most important one, well, I say most important one, if we had Jesus coming and dying in our place and rising and being accepted by the Father, but he never came back to get us, then what good would that be? But if he came to get us and he hadn't died in our place, then how could he take us? So that those two events are key events in the plan of salvation. And today, because I guess it's more convenient to do it on the weekend, on Sabbath, than to meet on, would have been on Thursday, or no, it would have been Wednesday, the 31st of March, was the Feast of First Fruits, when Jesus rose. Now, we know that Easter Sunday is not really when Jesus rose. Yes, he did rise on a Sunday. But it was the Feast of First Fruits, not the day set aside in history as a day to commemorate. But that's fine. We have a time to remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That he did it for us. And without the event that this commemorates, there would be no second coming. There would be no hope for us for eternity. But because Jesus came and conquered Satan as a human being, and died in our place, taking my sin on himself, taking God's displeasure against sin, his wrath, and how all that works out, I don't know. But that's what the Bible tells us, that he was the propitiation. He was the ransom payment for my sin. And today we commemorate his death and his burial, and really his resurrection. What an event. I have one more passage that I'd like us to look at in Revelation chapter 12. And while you're going there, where is Buddha? He's in the grave. Where's Muhammad? Where's Confucius? They're all still in the grave. Only Jesus was raised. And our resurrection is dependent on his. I'm sure glad my resurrection isn't dependent on Buddha or Confucius or Muhammad. Because if my resurrection was dependent on them, there wouldn't be one. Revelation chapter 12. This is the story of after Jesus ascended, or at the time of the ascension. Verse 10 says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down.'" Isn't that good news? When Jesus ascended, Satan was not going to give up his position as the representative of man. Because you see, once Adam and Eve sinned, they became the subjects of Satan. And Satan then went as the representative of the earth to the councils of God in heaven. And we read that in the book of Job, the first part of the book of Job. And he would go there and he accused Job. He said, well, Job's just a fair weather Christian. You take away all of his blessings and he'll curse you to your face. God says, oh. And if you want more of the story, go and read the book of Job. But when Jesus ascended, Satan was not going to give up that position without a fight. And so there was war again. And Satan was hurled down. So he can no longer go there to accuse me before God. That's good news. And I don't want to do his job of accusing others. We may have to deal with sin in the church, but to just be an accuser is doing the work of Satan. They overcame him how? By the blood of the Lamb. Through the blood of Jesus we have victory. There is no other hope than the blood of Jesus. How else did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What we say reacts upon us. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman. Who's the woman? It's God's people, God's church. But Satan has been cast down, and Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. He says all power and authority is given into his hand. So he mediates for us, and he gives us all the power that we need. And these emblems are the reminders of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, that he is there mediating for us, working in our behalf. We have open communion in this church. You're welcome to participate with us. We do follow Jesus' example of washing one another's feet. And so we will go and do that. You're welcome to come and join us, or if you're not comfortable with that, you're welcome to come and observe. And if you don't want to do that, you could enjoy sitting here in the sanctuary or enjoy the beauty of the day outside. And then we'll come back and participate in the emblems of the body and the blood of Jesus. We'll go over to the multipurpose room. There's a place for couples or families, and there's a place for the men and a place for the ladies. We'll go and follow Jesus' example, and you're welcome to come and join us. We'll separate at this time. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Ryan will lead us in prayer as the elders and deacons kneel.
Our Father in heaven, we come to you in faith in Jesus, that he came in our flesh, lived a life, where he did not sin so that he could be the perfect sacrifice. And he died for us. And that he rose again to live as high priest to make intercession for us. We trust in the merits of Jesus. We thank you for this special ceremony whereby we can remember the importance of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Again, reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The elders and deacons will again kneel as Will leads us in prayer.
Dear Lord, these symbols that we use, that's just what they are symbols, but we know there's power in the blood. We know that your blood is what's covering our sins, making eternal life possible. So we thank you for the sacrifice that you made. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
And they went out. So we'll turn to our closing hymn, number 334, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And during the last verse, we will, the elders and deacons and I will go out, and deaconesses.
Fill my heart with joy.